Yeah, hope you're doing all well. I'm excited about this episode. Really good episode. So, just want to talk about my sponsors. Got a lot of great sponsors. Karen from Solutions for E-commerce is really, I'm really growing her business. I'm excited for her, and you get the benefit. You get the benefit of having all that experience and all that ability. Again, I just messaged her this morning about another group of products, bundles that I'm bringing to market, and she's like, boom, here's how you do it. Just do this, 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 and send it to us, and just we'll take care of it from there. I mean, that's the service that I love when I get from Solutions for E-commerce. If you go to solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum, you'll save some money. You'll get the best price that she offers, and you'll get an inventory health report. And just make sure you tell her I told you to come, because I'm telling you, I love the service. Been using it for, I guess it's coming up to 2 years now, and ever since I interviewed her, but I hired her that night, and literally it's been a great effective service for us. When you think of products that are out there and companies that are just really strong and bringing it together, you think Seller Labs, and their product Scope is just an awesome product. I use it. I'm using it on these bundles, of course, because it allows me to figure out the keywords. The keyword is the whole key, all right? You got to figure that out, because that's what people are searching for. That's how you get people to see your product, and then you get to sell them, right? And since you own the buy box, because you're bringing your own products, either wholesale or private label, Scope will help you do that. And you get save $50 there too, off the annual price. So you just go to sellerlabs.com/scope and use the code Momentum, and that is going to save you $50, and you're going to have so much fun figuring out your keyword, because then all of a sudden it's going to open up other windows for you. That's what I love about those guys. GoDaddy is another place that I use, another program that I use to buy domains, and I buy a lot of them. You've heard me say it. It's the truth. I am a domain collector. I have something else, another project I'm working on, and smartly, I bought that domain a while ago, and now I'm going to actually use it. So it's very exciting for me. So if you go to trygodaddy.com/momentum, you're going to save 30%. 30% for something that you really need. I saw somebody message the other day, hey, make sure that you buy the hidden, I think it's a few extra bucks, and you can hide so people don't know who registered the domain, because what happens is people find you and contact you, and so I do it every single time. So try godaddy.com/momentum, save 30%, and you can save 30% off all their services. And finally, Grasshopper. You want to be more professional. I mean, I've seen guys, that was just at a conference in Vegas, I saw a guy with two phones, and I'm thinking to myself, you should have Grasshopper, because that will allow you to have your business calls come in on your personal phone, but not know that it's your personal phone. They'll think it's you're some corporate office somewhere, who knows where. And that's the beauty of it. It's really inexpensive. You can save $50, again, the $50 number, by going to trygrasshopper.com/momentum, trygrasshopper.com/momentum. It's a really good episode. Greg is spot on. Let's get into the podcast.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 236, Greg Mercer from Jungle Scout. I finally get Greg on the show, and it's not because of him or me. It's busy. I mean, he's busy. I'm busy, but that dude is busy. And I actually caught him on our continent. He was up in Canada for a few months. I love his nomad life. He said, actually, and you'll hear that in the interview, his wife would love to travel more. It's so cool to be on the same page with your spouse. And just, I can't imagine that she can be any more proud of what he's been able to accomplish as a dad. Man, I hope my sons can do as well as he does in his relationships and just being a great guy, let alone his business acumen. He's got a killer business, getting ready to hit his 100,000th customer. 100,000th customer. Amazing. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Very excited about today's guest because I think it's been 3 years, almost 2.5 years, we have missed each other. My time is nowhere near as valuable as his. He is all over the place. At that time when we were talking, he was over in Southeast Asia, and we just I couldn't coordinate it because I was working full time. It was my schedule that was the problem. And just finally, and everybody's asking me, why haven't you had Greg Mercer on? Why haven't you had, just because he's a busy dude. Greg Mercer from Jungle Scout. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I'm glad our schedule is finally aligned. I know we have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about for the next hour or so.
Yeah, well, you actually are on the same continent as I am. And that's the rarity. that's the thing to help. Because I was thinking about this. I'm like, man, what time is it wherever he is? And then I was like, wait, I have no clue where he is. Do you feel like that sometimes?
That I have no clue where I am?
Yeah, just because you spend so much time so many different places and being so visible. But does that get to you after a while?
It starts to. I remember when I first started traveling like 3 years ago, I was like moving all the time. Now I'm like a slow mover. I'll live somewhere for like a month or 2 months and kind of go somewhere else. So I definitely much slower, like put down kind of roots everywhere I go now.
You is that by design though, or is it because you're married? I mean, is it kind of a couple's thing as you, or just age?
Probably a little bit of age. My wife would actually probably like to travel around a little bit more, but it's probably me slowing her down. It's like, all right, the company is getting larger now. I need to be a little bit more established. So now I'm like a really high maintenance traveler now. I have like all this like criteria, like, okay, the co-working space has to have like a nice desk for me and at least these speeds and the room for the webinars and all that kind of stuff. She's like, you're really high maintenance.
You are high maintenance. You know, it's funny. I was just with George Lawrence out in Vegas. We were just there. And his wife was telling me, yeah, George likes to travel first class now. And it's because he likes the comfort of the seats and the non-hassle. And she said, we're actually looking at maybe even leasing space on a plane because it gets to be a problem. When you travel as extensive as you guys do, and I travel a lot, but you're nothing compared to a lot of you guys. And it does become a burden sometimes. So I don't know if it's snobbery as much as it is just convenience, you know, and hassle free. I'm all about less hassle in my life. So I more power to you. So, all right, let's get to your story. And I know it's been told 1,000 times, so it's going to be 1,001. But I want to go back because I was thinking about it, you know, in the pre-interview. I'm thinking, is that, did you ever expect, you know, one of the cool things out on your site is you are going to hit 100,000 customer very soon. I mean, it's within, I don't know how fast you sign them up. Hopefully they all sign up through this, my link, but you know, you're getting ready to hit 100,000. Does that blow your mind?
It does blow my mind. It's kind of, you know, like when you're just looking at your marketing numbers all the time and stuff, you kind of forget about it. But if you try to think about putting like 100,000 people in like a big stadium or all out.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
I have Penn State by me and they're close to 100,000. And when it's full, oh my God, it's overwhelming. I mean, it is really overwhelming when you actually get the context of what that is. You know, the other cool thing though, is that you got to touch 100,000 lives. To me, I mean, I don't know if you get into callings or any of that kind of jazz, but to me, that's a pretty big deal. Because somebody said that once, that if you can get a couple hundred people to follow you on your podcast, in my case, or a blog, that's a pretty big influence, right? I mean, you know, normal people don't get that influence. They work with six people and they get to talk to them. Here, I'm thankful I get to talk to, you know, a few thousand a week. You get to talk to or have talked to 100,000 with your product.
Yeah.
That blows my mind when I think about it.
Right. It's cool to think. And our customers are actually really good about like emailing in, saying like thanks and sharing success stories and all this kind of stuff. So pretty much every day or multiple times a day, I get to read like these success stories from people. And then that's what makes it like really very real, right? It's like, man, I used to be like in this spot, your tool or your content or your helpfulness, you know, enabled me to start this business. Now like my life's changed by it. And these people have like these really moving stories. It's very incredible to read.
But it, you know, that's really, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, that, you know, if your life is called to help move people or help, you know, build people up, you've done it. And so, wow. And they're voting with their checkbook. I saw that one time too. They said people vote with their checkbook. And the fact that you've had that many customers says something about it. So before Jungle Scout, though, there was Greg. And Greg was a college student. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to college, went to Auburn University, so down in the South.
What were you going to be? What was the big dream?
Well, I went to college. I had no idea what I wanted to be. But, you know, like my whole life growing up, I'm a creator. I like to build stuff. So my parents were like, why don't you try out like engineering? Like you're pretty good at the whole math thing. You like building stuff. So I was like, okay. So I got a degree as a civil engineer.
Oh.
I went and I got a real job as a civil engineer.
Did you have to get a suit?
No suit. Okay. Luckily, like, civil engineering is relatively casual.
Okay.
But I had a cubicle. Like, it was like this corporate company, and that's when I was like, all right, there has to be a better way than this. I was like, you know, my whole life I had a strong entrepreneurial spirit, and this was like just not fulfilling for me. It was like, you know, after the first like 3 weeks wear it off, like the newness factor of having like my own space at some fancy office, I was like, all right, I got to get out of here.
What would your parents say? I mean, were your parents entrepreneurs?
Actually, my dad is an entrepreneur.
Oh, okay.
So, but that being said, since then he's been very supportive, and he's definitely like one of my largest mentors. But at the time, my parents were like, I think you should keep your job. Like, you know, 90% of businesses fail. When you're an engineer, like after you graduate, you have to work 4 years to become, it's called like a professional engineer. And that's like a license to essentially be able to like do your own work. And they're like, why don't you at least stick in it for 4 years, become like a PE? And I was like, I can't last 4 years. It's not going to work.
It's funny that he steered you that way. Is that out of fear? I mean, is he still an entrepreneur today?
He is a successful entrepreneur.
And so that's interesting. He steered you away from that.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, but he's very, he makes very conservative financial decisions, you know?
Is he in the tech world?
So he has some e-commerce stores. He's actually like an OG in the e-commerce world. He's had e-commerce stores since like 2000 or 2001 or something.
Okay.
Back since the dark ages of the internet.
Well, I just wondered if he didn't understand what you did or what you were going to start.
Yeah,
he understood. That's perfectly interesting. I would want to know that. I would say, Dad, you know, a couple beers in, just say, dude, what's the real story? What were you thinking, that I couldn't do it as well as you do it? Or just the frustrations, because there are frustrations, right? There is, you know, hot and cold moments every hour in my life right now, you know, right, with this business. And so maybe that's what he's related to, is that he wanted a little more normalcy for you. Okay, so you go to school, you get the degree, you go to work. Work's not good. It's work. It is a four-letter word, truly is. Yep. And so what did you think about then?
So then literally I think I started by just like Googling like how to make money online.
You know, it's like the number one thing, like, right?
Yeah. And then of course, like if you type that into Google, it's like, oh my goodness, the options are overwhelming. Half of them are probably scams. Half of them, you know, are like just range of all different types of stuff, right? Like, oh, maybe like take online surveys, and it's like, crap, this, you only make like $7 an hour doing this. Like, I can't support my
I just Googled it. There are 160 million. I'm not exaggerating. I just Googled it. 160 million responses.
Yeah.
So then I was like, where do you start?
Yeah. But actually, it's funny because before that, I didn't listen to any podcasts. This is also about the time that like I figured out about podcasts. And then through just maybe like the Make Money Online searching stuff, I started running across podcasts. And I think that was really like the turning. That was like really what kind of helped me like, you know, consume high quality educational content about entrepreneurship. If looking back, you know, I've never really put that together until now, but I think that's true.
So you went to school, got a formal education, sat through a whole bunch of classes that, you know, were relevant and weren't relevant, right? I mean, like anybody else who went to college, lots of stuff related to your degree and lots of stuff, I'm just going to call it stuff. And then you decide, hey, I'm interested in something, and you go to podcasting and you find a way to connect there. How, you know, thinking about, you know, if you had kids, could you see them learning differently? You know, it's one of those things that fascinate me. I don't know why I'm going off on this tangent, but it just fascinates me that you were able to get, you know, and how quick did you learn something, whatever you were interested in?
Pretty quickly. I go like, when I'm ready to learn something, I go like all in. I'm like staying up late, waking up early, you know.
So a month? Yeah. I mean, am I a month as opposed to 4 years, dude. I mean, do you get that? I mean, that's what blows my mind. That's why I believe we are in the, you know, the middle of whatever's going to change, something's going to change. But the fact that you can master something in a month, whatever it is, and you go all in, like you said, probably a little sick there, dude. But you mastered it in a month versus 4 years. It just fascinates me. Okay, so you get into podcasts, and what was it that was, what were you listening to? What style?
So I was just listening to like whatever I could. So at one point, I think I got off like on a little kick about like real estate investing.
Okay.
Maybe I can make some money there. And then, you know, then I think I was learning about building these little like niche sites and just trying to rank them through, you know, like now it was very much like black hat SEO tactics, right? Uh-oh. It's like what everyone used to do about whatever, blasting the sites with a million backlinks and stuff. And I tried like a little bit of all this stuff, you know, like just starting to build my own WordPress sites or whatever else. And then that's when I learned more about Amazon.
Mm.
And that's the first thing that kind of like really clicked for me. Like, and it just like still to this day, it very much like makes sense. Like if someone tells you about this opportunity, you know, like if you're not a very like into tech and someone tells you about this opportunity, but you have to build this website and drive paid traffic and all this stuff, it seems overwhelming. But like if you know like nothing about entrepreneurship or like business or anything else, and someone's like, okay, you buy something for a lower price and resell it on a marketplace for a higher price, that's pretty easy to like comprehend and understand, right?
Right. It's simple math. Very simple math.
It's like,
right.
Okay, I don't think this is a scam. Like I believe this. This works. Like, you know, people have been doing this for a million years.
And did you feel then about the power of the internet, that it was just starting, that it was just, you know, generationally? I mean, is there anything that you don't buy online in your life right now, generally?
No, absolutely
right,
not.
Right. So it's a generational thing. As opposed to your dad, even though he is an e-commerce entrepreneur, he's probably in the middle, like me, probably about my age. And so with some things he's buying online and some things he still wants to go and kick the tires, right, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you saw that, you felt it, you... Did you start to breathe it? I mean, like you said, you go all in. I mean, did this consume you?
Absolutely. It consumed me. So I was working, you know, I was like a slacker at my job. So I was working like 8-hour days, no more. But then I'd come home. I was married at the time too. So I'd come home. I'd like eat dinner with my wife. And then I remember for like probably like 6 months, this is unhealthy. I wouldn't recommend this to a single listener, but I would work. Then I would like stay up from 7 to like, or I'd start like 7 p.m. after dinner, stay up till probably like 2 a.m. Oh, just God. Like learning and reading and everything, and then wake up at 6 a.m. to go to work. I did that for like I said, probably like 6 months, maybe more. And that's like just not healthy for you.
Well, did you have an idea what it was going to be? I mean, at that point, did you have a vision for what you were going to do probably for the next, you know, I can't imagine the rest of your life, but for the next couple of years? Hey, I'm working towards something. Did you figure that out then?
I wasn't even thinking like two years out. I was only thinking about how do I make enough money to replace my engineering income so I can quit my job. That was like my only goal. So I had no idea what, you know, what was going to happen 2 years from now. I didn't care. Like I had one goal at that point, and that was to make enough money to quit my job.
So as I think about that, age-wise, I think, this is a generational thing. You're not worried about the future. You're worried about the next year. You're worried about the next week to make enough money again so I can replace my job. Convince my wife that it makes sense for me to quit my job. That's definitely a generational difference where your dad probably would have to worry about the rest of his life. I mean, that's what we think about, right? But, you know, that short-term thinking is very healthy in this world, right? Because it makes you go all in. It makes you learn. It makes you kind of hungry.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I never put that together either, but that is very much like a millennial thing, right? It's
yeah.
Like you go out, even if people sign up for a new job, it's like, oh, I'll probably have this job for a year or two, and then I'll probably move on to the next year, right?
Yeah, I was in a career for my life. I mean, that was what it was. Right. You were going to go work for that company forever, and there were only a few companies, and if you didn't work for this one, you'd work for another one, but we were all in the same industry, and we just, you know, that was it for life.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. Okay, so you go consume, you get stronger, more crazy passionate about it, and were you going to sell something, or were you going to, you know, market, or what were you going to do?
So like I said, I tried to dabble in a few different things, but the first thing like really clicked was just selling goods on Amazon.
So selling physical goods. Okay. So
yes.
That's where you went. Okay. And so you were going to sell books, t-shirts, cars. What were you going to sell?
Anything to make money.
Really?
So just to like test it out, I tried the whole like retail arbitrage thing, and it's like I didn't think this was a good long-term model by any means. But I was like, okay, but I can like go buy some stuff. I can figure out how the whole selling on Amazon thing works, ship it in there, maybe make a few dollars and just like do a little bit of learning. So that was like kind of like my first little like taste of it, but I didn't do that for too long.
And how painful was that for you? Some people it's like pulling teeth. Other people just consume by it, love it.
Yeah, I didn't really like it that much. I wasn't too into like walking around stores, like scanning stuff. I felt like kind of awkward about it. I also like quickly realized that, like, this can be a very like time consuming thing. I don't see how this can scale, that type of stuff.
But did you enjoy the hunt piece when you did get a home run and it worked, that piece of it?
I think maybe that was fun for like the first time. Okay. And then after that,
it got old. Okay. And I, you know, it's funny because there are maybe a dozen that I know are just, oh my God, they would do nothing different. They just love it. They consume that. That's them. But that's that nomad kind of person. I mean, they just love that world. And I can't do it either. I'm with you. I couldn't do it. Okay. So you realized that wasn't the way you wanted to do it, but the method worked. Buy low, sell high.
Yeah, exactly right. And I learned about Amazon, learned about creating Amazon shipments, started to build history in my accounts. I think maybe started to increase my storage limit. So,
and you're still working full time?
Still working full time.
Still working full time. So doing his nights and weekends, you replace that time reading now to go and scanning on weekends doing that. And what was it, the next step? Was it online arbitrage?
The next step, no, I think maybe at one point I hired like a VA. I tried to do the online arbitrage thing for a few weeks and it wasn't really working out. The next step for me was I got a connection through my uncle for a health supplies wholesaler. So at that point I started ordering goods at wholesale costs and competing for the buy box on Amazon.
So, and I've heard this story a little bit. Does your uncle in the e-commerce world or in the brick and mortar world? Or was he?
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was in a whole bunch of different things. Was the fact that he gave you that wholesale account, I mean, was he using it too, or was he just like, you can have this one, go see what you can do with it?
He wasn't selling on Amazon with it.
Okay.
So that's when, he kind of like, I told him what I was doing. He's like, man, that, you know, that seems like a lot of work. Like, you should just order this stuff at wholesale. I was like, well, I don't know exactly how to get these people to sell to me at wholesale prices. That was like a challenge of mine at the time because it's kind of hard to establish this relationship. He's like, here, I'll introduce you to this guy, blah, blah, blah. Have a good relationship with him.
And I mean, did he blow his mind when he eventually saw what you were able to do with him?
Yeah, I think so.
That's funny. That's just funny to think about. You know, that Acres of Diamonds, you ever heard the story, right? You're one pick away from finding that diamond and you give up, right? And so how close was he to that, that he could have just turned it on himself and just never knew it, right? Never was exposed to it, never saw it. Interesting.
Sure.
Okay, so that seems to work out for you. I mean, almost enough to quit the job, or is it still just plugging along?
That's pretty much what gave me the income to quit my job. I think maybe when I quit my job, I had just launched my first private label product. It was right around that time, but that's what gave me the money I needed to quit my job.
Okay, so you had success. And was the private label product in the same field from that wholesale kind of company? Is that kind of the line you went?
No, not at all.
Wow.
First, it was like a patio, lawn, and garden type product.
Jesus, that's big.
Yeah.
You weren't afraid of that. That, you know, it's a funny because Andy always says that riches are in the niches, right? It's getting out to the things that nobody else wants. Everybody done the gloves and all the rest of that jazz. Going out, not many people would ever touch lawn and or patio furniture, right? Because it's so big. And this is years ago, and you went right for that.
Yeah, the product I was selling wasn't that big. It was this little bench thing that like you would kneel on to garden.
Why that? What was it that was attractive to you?
So this was, you know, like back in the days before Jungle Scout and before like anything else to like give you any type of insight of how well these were selling, except for like people had these rules of thumbs that like I look back on and kind of laugh at. People were like, oh, only sell stuff under, you know, BSR 3000 or like whatever. Like,
under a pound, small and what is it? Small and expensive, right?
Right. But like knowing what I know now, like the BSR rules were terrible because like 3000 in like appliances sells like one a month. But anyway, that's a different story. So like, why did I?
But did you know that then? Did you know that then?
No, I had no idea.
You were just going by whoever was in the smartest or the loudest at the time and thinking, oh, okay, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I found this product. It just seemed to have like pretty good margins. I was guessing that it might be selling well on Amazon. And I did a relatively small order, if I remember right, maybe just like 100, maybe 300 units or something. So it was, I guess, not that large of a risk.
But did it sell?
Yeah, it did sell.
So what do you attribute it to? I mean, you know, you can call it dumb luck, but I mean, there must have been something that was, because you kind of said you went away from the grain, right? You weren't listening to the under 3,000, those kind of rules. You went out on your own because they would have steered you away from something like that. It's probably oversized.
Yeah, it was oversized. That being said, like, I guess I'm not giving myself quite enough credit for like the amount of research I did. I did still like make like a long list. I was looking at everything, kind of like, okay, I still was looking at like the best sellers ranked to determine which of these I think are the best sellers. I think this particular product, he might have been like the only person selling it.
Okay.
It had a really low BSR, so I was like, okay, it doesn't seem to be much competition. I have no idea how many units this guy's selling every month, but I'm guessing it's quite a few. So I still did my due diligence on the research.
You looked at how many items to choose this one. I guess maybe I should have went there.
Yeah, I probably had 50 or 100 items.
Okay,
on my
so you really put some effort into it. Yeah, you do downplay that. That's interesting. And I think that's probably you, because that seems to be your way. You are kind of a humble guy, you know, and I mean that in a nice way. I mean, it's a cool thing that you've accomplished so much, and yet it's not a big deal to you.
Thank you.
It's cool. Okay, so private label starts, and this is early, and you had some success. How immediate did you jump in for another private label product? Because you didn't have the competition, right? It's you and this other guy for a while anyway. And
right.
that was definitely more attractive than retail arb for sure, online arb for sure, maybe even the wholesale thing?
Yeah, so I quickly realized, like, my margins with the wholesale stuff were pretty slim. Like, we're talking probably 15%.
Really?
Across the board. So I was going for pretty, like, high volume. Because, you know, you're competing for the buy box. So, like, mm-hmm. I had the repricers running all the time. So it's more like – but, you know, it's easy to launch new products. So I was just launching – or, like, for the wholesale stuff. So I just had tons and tons of products. Because, like, when I was ordering – when I was placing these orders, like, I could just order, like, 5 units of something and 10 units of something. So I would order, like, 100 different products of, like, 5 or 10 units each. And some of them, like, really sell really quickly. Some of them wouldn't. But my margins were slim. That being said – the wholesale account I had good payment terms. I had like 30 or 60 day payment terms. So essentially like ordering stuff, I was selling it before I even had to pay for it from my wholesaler. And, you know, there were some margins there.
Okay, so he had a little cash.
Yeah, I had a little cash. I wouldn't say it was a terrible business model, but it wasn't the best one. And then I saw my private label margins that were like really high. They were like over 50%. So I was like, holy crap, okay. Like it takes more work because you have to do your own photography. You have to do your own branding. You have to do some sort of launch process. So it's like, well, it's more difficult up front, but it's like, man, this seems to be kind of like the the way to go. So I quickly launched a few more private label products.
And this was, you were processing this stuff yourself, or were you using a prep center?
So for my wholesale stuff, I had someone that was working for me like part-time.
Okay.
And he was helping me process stuff. For my private label stuff, I don't do any of the processing. I just ship directly from the factory.
Okay, so you shipped it direct. Wow, so that's a big deal way back. Again, that's another thing that's hard to set up, but once you have it set in place, it's a set and forget it kind of thing, right? So that's a big deal. How many years ago was that? 3 years? 2.5?
Yeah, so yeah, right. Now we're not talking about that long ago. It's like 3 years ago. So let's see. Probably like 3.5 or 4 years ago is when I launched my first private label product.
Okay.
So if we're talking about now that I have multiple private label products, we could say 3 years ago.
Okay. So that's pretty pretty early on, though, to adapt that ship directly to Amazon. And you saw the value in not touching product. How did you get, you know, back then especially, right? Because I'm trying to think, 3 years ago, I'm sure Alibaba was there, but seeing product, getting it inspected, though, you know, right now there's a ton of companies that'll do that for you. They weren't easy to find back then. How did you ensure quality of product and making sure that things went right back then?
Good question. So, yeah, I didn't do my first inspection until like probably 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago. Now I do it on every shipment.
Ruh-roh.
But at the time, I didn't know anything about that. Like, no one, this was kind of like before like any courses were around
right.
or anything, right?
No,
so
I
didn't have anyone else like teach me.
All right, there are. So there really weren't. There really weren't anybody there. So, I mean, the fact that you're figuring this stuff out, and I mean, did you have anything blow up on you without the inspections?
Okay, so I was about to say. So what I did do is, I would have my factories take a whole bunch of pictures for me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and I even put this into like a written agreement at the beginning. I was like, look, you have to take pictures of the raw materials, the first unit off the production line, the first container or the first carton when it's done, all of the cartons. So this is kind of like, I call it like the poor man's inspection. It's like, just make your sales rep take a whole bunch of pictures and videos like with their cell phone. They all seem to do it. And I still do that to this day. They don't seem to mind it at all. They seem happy to do it. So I think that's what really helped kind of like the quality control.
So you scared them in like, hey, I'm watching you. I've got video. I can see that every little step of the way. And you were hoping that would be.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. Now you can have these, there's a zillion companies. There are people that'll go over for a small fee and inspect it for you and actually do the work. But the fact that you did it without, that's pretty cool. Okay, so you launch a bunch of products. So now, were you still doing the wholesale thing? Or did you give up on that?
So I kind of slowly transitioned out of it. You know, I kept all of the products with the highest margins.
Smart.
Yeah. So up until like a year ago, I still had some of my wholesale products. As of today, I don't have any of them anymore.
Is that the advice you would give somebody? I mean, you know, you think about the transition of people. You talk to, you talk to 100,000 sellers one way or another, right? You know, start out an RA or whatever it is, move on, and just keep finding, narrowing down your focus. And eventually, even wholesale might not make sense for certain things. Is that kind of the way you see it going?
Yeah, I'd say like everyone's situation is a little bit different, so it's kind of tough to know. You know, now it's like I love private label, but at the same time, if you're just starting, if you don't have much cash, that is like the biggest downfall to private label. It's fairly capital intensive.
Right.
So yeah, it's kind of hard to say. Like, I don't know if I can make one generalized statement for all the listeners.
Yeah, it's true. And even wholesale is, I mean, you can go to a wholesale show or a trade show and spend $500 and get into wholesale. So it's not necessarily, but to get to that scale, 15% is pretty lean. That's a lean operation. But I mean, that's probably realistic. I mean, I know that you can get better, but when you're done calculating whether everything sells, when you really get through it all, if you can get 15, and if a retail store got 15%, they'd be thrilled to death, right?
True. It's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, it really is. And then they still have to pay for that brick and that mortar right in there. Oh, expensive. Okay, so things are going good. Where does Jungle Scout start? I mean, mentally, what point in your private label, sounds like it's a private label decision, what point did you say, there's an idea here?
Yeah, so that it was about, well, I guess 3 years ago now is when it started. So at this time, you know, I was trying to launch more private label products. I realized the power of selling on Amazon. I realized, okay, now I know how to work with factories and get this stuff made. So at this point, it's like a scaling issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if I want to scale this up to a large business, I just need a lot more SKUs. So at that point, I had like hired a VA to fill out spreadsheets for me. I would give them ideas, and then they'd fill out a spreadsheet with all the data that you currently see like in the Jungle Scout extension. So when you click the Jungle Scout extension, you can think of that as kind of like a spreadsheet, right? It has a bunch of columns and rows. That's essentially just what my spreadsheet was that I gave to these VAs, but had them fill it all out.
So they would go in and search every product and key in all those little fields.
So manually. It'd take them probably like an hour per search term. They're getting paid like $3 an hour or something. So essentially like $3 per search term for me. And I mean, this was time consuming. It was tedious.
It's got to be inaccurate too by the time you get it.
Yeah, inaccurate, all this kind of stuff. So that's when I was like, there has to be a better way. And then that's when Jungle Scout was born.
And what were you hoping to get? I mean, what was the vision that you were gonna get a faster way to do X? If you had to do your elevator pitch back then, what was it going to be?
Yeah, it was essentially just a faster way to fill out these spreadsheets. So I was like, you know, I wish I could just click a button and this entire, you know, at the time my mind was thinking like just the spreadsheet of data. I was like, I just want to click a button and the spreadsheet of data is filled out. And I was like, it shouldn't be that hard to do.
Looking for top sellers. I mean, I want to parse that a little bit. You were looking for top sellers, fewest sellers, best margins, blah, blah, blah. What were you looking for?
Unit monthly sales, FBA fees, so I could estimate, you know, like margins.
Okay.
Level of competition, that kind of stuff.
Okay. And so that was just to add more SKUs to you, period, right? And you weren't thinking that this was a business at that point?
Well, I was kind of like, I was like, I would really like to have this for myself at the time. Like, I had very much so like young entrepreneur syndrome where you like, you still feel like you need to do lots of like different types of things. So I was like, okay, well, I could try to sell this to the public. You know, worst case scenario, no one else wants to buy it. And it's still probably worth my money to invest to just build this for myself.
Okay. And that makes sense to me. And so I think about a lot of the development people that I've interviewed over time, it's pretty similar. They had a challenge, right, or a problem, and they're solving it, which sounds like you were. These spreadsheets sound pretty ridiculous. So you were going to solve it. But then you're like, there might be others interested in it. When you're thinking like that, you know, did you have any idea, any possible idea that there's this big of a demand for what you wanted? Did you hang out with other sellers and that come up? Or, I mean, I'm trying to get in your head to say, how did you know, or did you know, that it could be this big?
I didn't know at all.
Not even a clue.
I didn't even have a clue. This is like exceeded my wildest dreams. After I launched it, like we'd sold like 10 or something the first day, and I was super stoked about that. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of more than I probably thought I was ever going to sell. And then I told my wife, my audacious goal was to sell one a day. I was like, if I could sell one a day for the next few years, I would be so stoked. That was my big goal at the time, one a day. And now we get like 250 new customers a day.
A day, every day. You know, you think about it, and this isn't a criticism. My bet is you weren't first to think of this, right? You weren't first. Somebody else thought of it or was doing it and probably have done it since, right? I think it's execution, right? What makes you so good? Is it the engineering? Is it your parents? Is it the entrepreneur spirit in you? The fact that you're going to go all in and you're going to master it and you're going to be the best? What is it that allowed you to kind of separate yourself from the pack?
Good question. I think about this often because I'd obviously like be able to replicate it, you know, later on in life. I'd say it's a mix of a few things. You know, one, like I definitely lucked out with the timing. Like I hit like a pretty like hot opportunity in a hot market like early on. So that was good. The reason I think that Jungle Scouts really shined upon, because I mean, there's like, you know, most people don't probably realize this, but we have probably 30 or 40 competitors for Jungle Scout now that do kind of like this.
Similar.
So it's like, well, why did like Jungle Scout, you know, I'm pretty sure we're the biggest one in the industry. It's like, why did we get so much bigger? I think a lot of it was relentless like execution and like the desire to like always make it better and better and better and better. Like if you were to speak to our team now, they would kind of be like, they kind of make fun of me because I always say like, you did a nice job, but.
But, okay.
They always think like, okay, like what do you think about this? It's like, well, it's nice, but like we still have a lot of room for improvement. So it's like, that's what they're hearing just like every single day. Like we need to make this better. We need to make this better. We need to make this better. I tend to think like that we always need to be moving like really, really fast. So it's like, okay, like we just released, you know, like the brand new extension redesign last week, but it's like, well, what are we, you know, like working on to like be releasing like next week and the following week and the week after that? So I think a combination of like moving fast. I think people probably, I was able to connect with quite a few people because I was also an Amazon seller.
You knew what the challenges were. You were trying to address the challenges.
Absolutely. Like okay. Someone, if they were just like a developer, it'd probably be more difficult for them to understand what problems Amazon sellers were having.
And it's interesting to hear you say, you're still a seller.
I am.
Okay. Because most people aren't. They lose that. Why do you still sell? I mean, it's not a money issue, clearly, but it's why? What is it that's still attractive to you?
It's still fun to me. And I feel like I'll lose my edge if I stopped selling. So like I still launch new products every single month, and it really keeps me in tune with like what's working right now on Amazon. What are the new things? You know, like I'm in Seller Central every day. So like I see when Amazon releases like that new tab or the new feature, the new report or whatever else. It just really kind of like keeps me in the know. You know, I still want to be like an Amazon seller. I don't want to just be I feel like Jungle Scout would kind of lose touch with that if I stopped selling on Amazon.
You're walking the walk. Hey, do you still have problems that you experience in the Amazon world that you think about addressing? And you don't have to give away your secret sauce, but I'm just thinking, is that why you guys are so cutting edge? Because you still have problems and you're like, ooh, I can fix that, or there's got to be a better way, or is that that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about that all the time. And, you know, once you start like researching about like really good like user experiences and stuff, like I go about my everyday life just like a little bit differently now. I'm like, huh, like on this on this Nespresso machine, you know, like I pressed the button to go, but since it wasn't warmed up yet, like it wouldn't go. Like why don't I can just press the go button, and then once it's heated up, like that's it starts to make that or whatever. So like I've kind of like changed my whole life now to be like really critical, like wait a second, like we can make a better user experience with this or that or the other thing, or like this is like a problem I'm having now. So it's kind of funny.
Well, so I'm sitting here thinking about what would be your superpower. I mean, when you think about that now in your whole life, what is it? I mean, is it the inquisitiveness, like insanely inquisitive? I mean, is it, and where does that come from?
Good question. I don't know if that would be my superpower or not.
I mean, it sounds like you're just not sad, not in a negative way. I don't mean it that way. Wait, hit my mic. Sorry about that. You're not satisfied with maybe good enough.
Yeah, like just like always room for improvement, right? It's like, okay, this may easily be the best thing out there, but it doesn't mean there's not room for improvement. We can still make this a lot better. Yeah, I'd say that'd be something that most people would say to describe me.
Okay. All right. So I think I've beaten you up enough about you and how you got to where you are. So let's talk a little bit about Jungle Scout.
Sure.
When it started, it was, you know, simple spreadsheet kind of thing to pull this data together, and then you would slice and dice it the way you wanted. That was what it was. What is it now? I mean, if you had to explain to somebody, hey, you know, you're thinking about coming into the Amazon world, what is it now?
Jungle Scout is a tool to identify profitable opportunities for Amazon sellers. So it's a product research tool, a market intelligence tool. If you have no idea what you want to sell in Amazon, Jungle Scout, without any ideas, can identify those opportunities for you.
And, you know, I want to throw this out there because I want to make sure I get people to understand the cost. Okay. So, standard 50, oh, startup, $30 a month. So for $30 a month, this is the web app, not the app, the Chrome extension, but for $30 a month, you can get that ability that you used to pay your VA, right? To do $3 an item, right? To do, and it would take them, how long would that take them to do to get you?
It's like an hour per search word.
Okay. So an hour. So they were giving you 20 or 30 a week? Reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. How long would it take you today for that $30 to get that 30 items?
Like 1 minute.
Okay. I was going to even say probably 45 seconds. Okay. Yeah. So 1 minute, you have that same amount of data. So in that same, I mean, I can't do this math, and I'm not going to do this math. In 30 hours time, I guess I'm going to 30 hours times 60 minutes. You know, could you imagine what you could do in that same period of time now? I mean, it's almost unfathomable, the volume that you could do.
Right. Technology, it's amazing.
It really is. And, you know, they keep giving you deeper and deeper access to data, correct?
Yeah, we're continuously, right.
Right. And so they're giving more data, more, right.
More data.
And you're able to narrow it down. And again, I think it's because you sell, so you know what data is important, what's not, because they're going to give you everything, right? And you got to find your way through that to find the gold nuggets there. Okay, so $30 a month. So I just want people to understand that's the cheapest plan, but that's how much your investment is, $360 a year. That's it. Okay, so now we can talk about what it can do for you. So I'm new and I want to start selling. So I'm selling retail arb and I want to get into private label. I want to find products to sell. Jungle Scout will help me do that, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me how it's done. So I pull up this, I mean, I sign in, what do I do?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to go about it. You know, depending on, let's pretend like you want to do the whole private label thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what I would do is I would go into the product database, which is one of kind of the big features of the web app. And inside there, we've rebuilt Amazon's catalog in a way that is user-friendly for sellers to search through. So, you know, like Amazon.com, it's built for consumers, right? Not mm-hmm. for sellers. You can't go to Amazon.com and say like, hey, show me all the products that sell really well, even though there's low competition. They just don't have those searches there. But in our web app, since we've rebuilt our catalog and have our own filters and searches, we can. So we could say like, only show me products that sell at least 300 units per month and are doing well with less than 10 reviews, and their listing quality is really poor. So like, we rate all the listings 1 through 100 on how we think, how likely or how effective they are at converting. So I could say, okay, you know, I'm looking for ideas. Show me all the products that sell 300 units a month, only have 10 reviews or less, and have a really crappy listing. So then I could look at all those products, and like the, at that point, those are all potential ideas for you, because it's like that person's doing pretty well. They're selling 10 a day, even though it's a really junky listing and it's probably pretty new and young because it only has a few reviews. So those are all like those are really good clues. Another way you could do is you could do the same thing. Like, hey, show me all the products that sell, let's say, 1,000 units a month, even though the rating, so the star rating, is like 3.5 stars or less. And again, that would be a really good clue. And that would show you a whole bunch of products that are in really high demand, even though they're pretty junky.
Right.
So then you could say like, yeah, then I could read the bad reviews. I could say, hey, you know, this thing is getting a whole bunch of 1 and 2 star reviews just because it has poor packaging and it gets broken during delivery. Well, I could sell the same thing. I could just use better packaging. If I get all 5-star reviews, like I can probably take away all that, all the sales from that particular person. So those are just a few of the example cases, but there's lots of other ones.
So, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about this. It really does help you narrow down without having to do all that research yourself, right? Back to that VA, pouring through all that data and perhaps missing it because, you know, they're human, right? They're going to make mistakes, right? And so by parsing that data down with this program, you can actually get right down to the meat of it. And then it's when that intuition can take on, right? Then it's Greg back to his bench, right? Where that intuition, it sounds like that's what happened. You had to review 100 things to find that little thing. Now you can narrow that down in advance, and then you can let that intuition take over. Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the product database, and that's available. That's included in the web app.
That's correct.
Okay. What else is included in the web app?
Yeah, so there's like two other main features of the web app. One's a product tracker. What you do there is you can track any product on Amazon. On a daily basis, it will show you the best sellers rank, the inventory, if it's less than 999 on a daily basis. And it also will tell you the sales for that particular day. And that just lets you kind of like look at any product, whether it be generally your competitor's products, on a daily basis to see how well they're selling. And this just gives you really good insight, whether there's like weekly or monthly or seasonal trends, or just to verify demand before ordering. So that's kind of one of the,
knowing those trends is critical, right? Is planning, right? This really sounds like a really strong planning tool. Okay. And then we get to the niche hunter. Niche Hunter, but it sounds pretty cool, man. I want that shirt, Niche Hunter. Yeah. Merch idea. Go ahead.
Right. So this is cool. So, we've taken all of the real customer search terms that we know, and for each of those customer search terms, which you can essentially think of as niches, a keyword and niche can probably almost be used interchangeably.
Okay.
We've rated how much demand there is in that niche, how much competition. We do a few other little things, but essentially – we're telling you how much demand competition's in that particular niche.
Jeez. So, I mean, could you imagine if this was around 3 years ago? Have you thought about where your business would be if you had access to this 3 years ago, where, you know, private label wasn't quite as where it is today, right? It's not, you know, there's not all these people teaching it, right? Can you imagine accessing this way back?
Yeah, it would have been pretty wild. Sometimes I think about like, well, what would have happened if I just never shared any of these tools with the public and I only use them for my own business? I bet it'd be like a little bit of a different industry on Amazon right now.
Yeah, it'd be Bezos and Mercer here. We're going to buy Whole Foods. Yeah, you know, Jeff called me the other day and said, hey, what do you think? You know, that'd be pretty cool, right? Okay, so that is the web app, and that is a monthly fee, and that's something. As it evolves, do I get access to the new evolutions as it evolves with that web app model?
Absolutely. So okay. We do updates usually once or twice a week. Most of them are small, just like little improvements here and there. We are working on a really big update right now for the web app, but that won't be rolled out for another like 4 to 6 weeks.
What's it going to do? Give us the inside scoop. Nobody's listening. Go ahead. Tell me.
Well, it's one, just a total like redesign. So it could definitely use a facelift with improved just like usability and user experience. So that'd be like the big thing. You'll notice like a little bit of a different look that's a little bit easier to use and navigate and read and that kind of thing. With that, we're making some other improvements, just like the ability to like save searches and add annotations. And I forget, I mean, there's a pretty long feature list of just like a number of pretty cool things like that. And then, yeah, we're working on one other like big feature that will probably be sometime Q4. And that's that has to do more with like keyword search volume, which again is a good way to kind of help sellers identify opportunities.
Right, right. Because if you know what people are looking for and you can fill that need, right? I guess we're back to solving problems, right? I mean, that's really what it sounds like you keep doing, is finding a way to solve problems. If people are searching for an item, either they found it or they didn't, you want to help fix that by, you know, putting a product out there. It kind of makes sense. Okay, yeah. So we have a Chrome extension. Now, the Chrome extension, what was the thinking there? What problem was that going to solve?
Yeah, so the Chrome extension. So I guess anyone in the audience who aren't familiar with these tools, you know, the web app is like a standalone SaaS tool. So, you know, similar to whatever other SaaS platforms you used to, like it operates kind of like in your browser, but as like a standalone software tool. The Chrome extension, that if you don't have any extensions or you're not familiar with them, that kind of like integrates into your Google Chrome browser, and that lets you use this on the Amazon store. So if I made a search on the Amazon store, if I'm looking at any page with Amazon products, I click this button, I see a pop-up on that page. And in that pop-up is key metrics that Amazon sellers need to know to make educated decisions. So in there, you know, would be like the monthly sales of a particular product. It would be the number of reviews. It'd be the net after Amazon fees. Some really cool historical graphs to show you how bestsellers ranks changed over time, or their estimated monthly sales for historical months, or the Google Trends for the search volume. So again, this is all just data and information that sellers would like to see to kind of like understand the competitive landscape and just kind of the market in general.
And a finger's notice, right? I mean, basically it just even pops up, right? You don't have to do anything and it just shows up. And that is how it can guide you, right? It's not a decision maker necessarily, but it's a guidance, I guess is the right way to say it. That would say,
yeah, guidance.
This is worth saving. Okay, there's something here.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then there's two different versions. So there's a light version and then the pro version. It says it works with the web app. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the pro version, so you can like add products to your product tracker from the extension. So like I'm looking at the extension, you know, it's a little pop-up. I can click like the add button and add a bunch of products to my web app product tracker, and then it will be tracking those products on a daily basis for me.
Beautiful. And so then you don't have to write them down or transfer them over, copy, paste. Anyway, it just automatically does it. Love it, love it, love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I think, let me just say that. Fee is $97 for the light version, one-time fee. And what happens if you update it later on? Do I get the updates to that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we update it pretty much every week. So
even the Chrome extensions.
Yeah, even the Chrome extensions updated on your computer. You don't have to do anything.
Okay. And then or there's a $197 is the all encompassing features. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about this. I mean, basically you have really addressed a way to, I mean, you brought a research team. You know, you bought a company in to buy a little company that will do the research or the analysis of the research that I'm doing and present it to me in a pretty formal fashion, right? A pretty formal layout. Successes. I mean, I see some of the people that are recommending your stuff. Give me an example of somebody that you've heard from that has just killed it with it. And you don't have to name their name. I want people to get some perspective about what's possible.
Yeah, so I hear from like all kinds of people. You know, a lot of people are probably like where I was at just a few years ago, like just looking to quit my job, right? Mm-hmm. So these people, maybe they want to launch like one or two, three products, and that will give them enough income to like replace their salary. So I hear from a lot of people like that. I was just at a conference a couple months ago, and this lady came up to me, and this was like a pretty crazy story. That I would say she'd only been selling on Amazon for like less than a year. She used to have like a full-time job like before kids, but she has essentially been outside the working world now for like 20 years or something. Her kids had just gone off to college and she started this business. And within like less than a year, she was doing crazy numbers every month. Like I think she said she was going to do like $400,000 or $450,000 in sales that month.
Wow.
So it's like in less than a year is a pretty remarkable success story, especially considering that like she didn't really have any technical background. You know, she had not been working for the past 20 years to raise her kids and stuff. Is very inspiring and pretty cool to hear.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, how could you not be inspired by that? You know,
right.
Normally I ask people to give, you know, for a close, I always say, you know, and you saw it in the outline, you know, give me the tips to help people move their business forward. But as I'm sitting here listening to you talk about A, because you're so knowledgeable, and B, because I think the way you would approach this, if somebody gave you access to Jungle Scout and you weren't the developer, you would devour it, right? What's the best approach? I'm going to close with this. What's the best approach for somebody who's interested in Jungle Scout to get the most from it? Because it, you know, it's you don't want it to be, and I imagine even you, I mean, it'd be great to get the money, but realistically, you want people to have utility with it, right? What's the best approach for somebody to come in, devour it, I guess? I don't know. What's your advice to get the most from Jungle Scout to help grow their business?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I would recommend, if, you know, if you've been listening to this and it sounds interesting, maybe you want to dive into the whole Amazon private label thing. Since, you know, this is only a minute closer and a 1 hour podcast, we have a totally free case study. This is a little shameless plug.
No,
it's
go
called
for it.
$1 million case study. It's totally free, so you don't have to pay anything. If you watch the first few episodes of that, I show like exactly step by step how to use the Jungle Scout tools to successfully, you know, like launch these products in the business. And that's what we're doing through the case study. We're starting and scaling an Amazon physical products business to $1 million in revenue. We're actually donating all the money to charity that we create from it. So our goal is to build 5 schools in underdeveloped countries. But what's cool for like the listeners and the audience, and if you want to follow along with it, is we transparently, through a 1 hour webinar every single week, show you how we're building this business and scaling it to $1 million. So that's what I would say like would be the best way, or like the next step for you.
Cause you're going to start it all the way from the beginning, all the way through.
Yeah. So we already started. So we're at like $330,000 now, I think. So we're like a third of the way there. We're launching our third product now, but yeah, you can see exactly how I use these to find the profitable opportunities, use the data, you know, to like minimize our risk.
I mean, yeah, it so really is a university. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at, you're up to part 7, and I'm looking down and I'm seeing part 1, part 2, part 3, and it's all video. And so you're sharing with people exactly how you did it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually just on the so like right now we're doing like the Europe edition of it. It's so like we started in the U.S. We have like marshmallow sticks and hooded baby towels in the U.S. right now we moved to Europe and we're launching a sleeping bag. And yeah, like I said, there's a, like it's just a whole bunch of videos that show you the exact steps. So I'd say that would be like the at least the first few videos that would show you like the best way, how to get the most out of using the Jungle Scout tools.
That's awesome. All right. So Greg gave me a little bit of a discount that I can pass along to you guys. What I'm going to find is that most of my listeners are all using it. We've been using it for years, you know, because they, you know, let's face it, 100,000 people, and I get a lot of successful sellers. So guess what? They do, but still a little bit of an offer. I'm taking it $10 off for the light, or the pro version, $10 off. And all you do is junglescout.com/momentum. And I'll put links to all that stuff. You know, Greg, I sit back and I think about, you know, again, back to the beginning of our talk here, could never envision it getting to this. But now the fact that you're using it to help build schools, it's almost like a calling kind of thing. I mean, is that fulfilling a part of your life? I mean, I guess this is a duh question. You're going to be like, that's pretty stupid. is fulfilling a piece of your life that you never thought you would get to?
Absolutely. So like, yeah, just through the case study now, we're at almost $100,000 of donations. And like, if I would think back to like my working life, like the right. thought of like having, you know, an extra $100,000 that I would just be able to donate was like, that never would have happened in my whole life, right? Like I was pretty much, I mean, I was a little bit better than living paycheck to paycheck, but I didn't have like that much like excess money, right? And like when you live in the States, it's really tempting, you know, to like be spending it and stuff. So yeah, it just goes to show that it's kind of like this journey that I'm on now after quitting my job and like going down this route is just totally different, like exceeding my wildest imaginations.
Yeah. It's mind blowing to sit back and think about it. Dude, that is awesome. So if somebody wants to follow up more, and I know, let me just tell you, he's a hard dude to get a hold of just because, he's busy. He is busy. He's on this continent for a while. Now, we don't know how long, and then he'll be on another continent for a while. You are approachable at conferences and stuff. I've seen you out there. Best way, if somebody wants to follow up with more information, and again, I'll have all the links for the Jungle Scout University and all those different things, because it's amazing. I mean, it's deeper than what we just touched on here. There's tons of stuff, and I'll have all those links there. What's the best way if somebody wants to follow up with a question, or even just somebody on your team?
Yeah, if you're curious about Jungle Scout, I would recommend just checking out our site, junglescout.com. If you have any questions, just email us at hello@junglescout.com. I tend to get like tons of messages and emails and all that stuff, but I'll definitely do my best. I'm actually am good about responding to anyone on Twitter, so if you have any direct questions for me, you can tweet me at Mercer_Greg, and yeah, I actually respond to all of those myself.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dude, I really appreciate it. I'm blown away with, how big it is and how cool it's gotten and how rewarding. I mean, I'm sitting here rewarded just knowing what you're doing with it. I think that's the cool part, is that you're just not sitting there, like Scrooge counting his coins. You're doing something. you're making a dent in the universe, and that's what we all are here for. So that is very awesome, dude. I appreciate your time. I know how valuable it is. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me on. I've really enjoyed it. Take care.
Man, that dude is smart. I'm smarter for it just talking with him. What a great guy. Great business. Doesn't speak ill of anyone. Just wants to do better and continues to improve. You heard him. He's a little bit of a tyrant. He demands a lot, but he wants to be better. And I just think that's such a great attitude. Hence the reason he's doing so well. And he's been doing so well for so long now. Think about it. Jungle Scout's been up there for a while, and they're still up on top. So, ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Don't forget my sponsors, Solutions for E-Commerce. Give Karen a note if you're thinking about taking on somebody to help you manage your business. Fourth quarter is here. You got to get some help. That's a perfect one to outsource, man. I have no regrets, and I pay the same price as everybody else, but I have no regrets. When you think of keywords again, think scope. I mean, you've seen so many people post about it. It's so inexpensive. It's such a powerful tool. That's how you're going to improve. Don't go looking for more products when your other products aren't selling. Make them the best that they can be, and Scope's going to give you that. Try GoDaddy.com, save 30%. Try GoDaddy.com/momentum to save the 30%. You got to put that in there. And try Grasshopper.com/momentum to save $50.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.